as Greta was sharing, we're going to kick into a new series today. We finished our series on 1 Corinthians and we're now going to head into 2 Corinthians. And I think you'll see why as we start to unpack it as we go along. But I want to begin by sharing with you a funny story. It's a story about a boy that went to the supermarket and he struggled to find some washing powder. And he was looking for the Omo Ultimate, like some of us use, but he couldn't find it. And he asked someone for help and he found out, yes, yes, this is where you go. And he was asked, you know, why did he want it? And he said, well, my mother said to get Omo Ultimate so I could wash the cat. And the lady in the supermarket was a bit worried about that and said, well, no, that's not pet shampoo. If you use that on the cat, it's going to really make the cat sick. And the boy said, no, Mama said I had to get Omo Ultimate. So she said, all right, here it is. So he bought it and took it home. A few days later, he was back in the store and the lady was also working that shift. And she said, well, how did washing the cat go? And the boy replied, he died. And the lady shook her head and said, look, I told you, using Omo Ultimate on the cat was not going to be a good idea. And he said, look, he said, it wasn't the Omo Ultimate. It wasn't the soap that caused the cat to die. It was the spin cycle in the washing machine. We might laugh at that, unless you love cats. But I wonder though how many of us feel like that, where we're caught in the spin cycle, where we're caught in the cycle where we feel that we go from one trial or suffering to a next trial or suffering, that we feel that we get tossed to and fro, that we start to feel tired, that we start to feel twisted, that we start to wonder, where's joy going to be again? I wonder if you've ever felt like that. I wonder if you've ever felt that you're caught in that spin cycle, being tumbled over and over and over again. Because as we come to look at 2 Corinthians, I think the Apostle Paul felt that way. See, he had written the letter 1 Corinthians. They had pretty much ignored him. And he's been suffering, and you caught that in the verses that Greta read out. The area around in Asia there where they were ministering was having many, many issues from the other religions and the Romans attacking Christians. And so anyone who wanted to be in a church was suffering. Persecution was great. I think Paul would have felt that he was caught in the spin cycle. That the church at Corinth, they would have thought they were caught in the spin cycle. And in the midst of that, in the midst of being tumbled over and over, tossed to and fro, he opens this letter with some words that he wants them to hear. I think these are words that Paul himself needed to hold on to. And I think they're words that we need to hear today, is that we have, in the midst of our spin cycle, we've got a God of comfort. We've got a God who's going to comfort us no matter what we face. And then even better than that, he helps us comfort the people around us. In verse 3, it says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort." Right at the beginning of this letter, in the midst of his own suffering, in the midst of the turmoil within the church at Corinth, Paul says, I want you to know one thing, and I don't want you to miss it. No matter what you face in life, I want you to know that we have a God of compassion, a God of comfort, and he never changes. But what is this comfort? When we say here, the God of all comfort, what do you understand by comfort? And you probably heard when Greta read out these verses, the word comfort comes up over and over again. 10 times in the first 11 verses, Paul mentions it. So what does comfort mean to you? And sometimes I think we think of comfort as sympathy. You know, that idea that when you've been hurt or something, or maybe when you're a child, you scraped your knee and your parent would just give you a little pat on the head and say to you, there, there, you'll be okay. Is that, when you say we've got the God of all comfort, is that the picture? No, it's got to be more than just sympathy. What can it be? Is it, you know, this picture of comfort is when the issue that we're facing, the suffering that we're facing, that it's taken away from us and we don't have to face it anymore. Is that comfort? Now, for example, me with the skin cancer. You know, it would be great if painlessly, once for all, I never have to worry about any skin cancers again, never have to go to the doctor every 12 months and do all that. Wouldn't it be great if that could happen? Is that comfort for me? Well, if it is, and it hasn't happened, and we've got a God of comfort, does that mean God's never comforted me? Well, no. So it's got to be more than that. What is this comfort to you? When you see that we have a God of comfort, how do you understand that? Well, when we come to look at this word that Paul uses over and over again, the Greek word is parakaleo, which means para, to the side of, kaleo, which means to call out to. The word literally means to come alongside and to help. Can you start to see that the word comfort means a bit more than just sympathy? It's a bit more than actually taking away from the situation. Can you start to see that you can actually have comfort in the issues that you face? Our English word for comfort comes from the Latin word with strength. And I think it gives us a good picture of what this comfort is when we say we have a God of all comfort. It means that we have a God in no matter what issue we face in life, He's going to come alongside and He's going to help us and give us strength. That's the comfort that Paul needs at this time when he writes this letter. That's the comfort he wants the church to understand at Corinth, that no matter what they face, they can have this same comfort, that God will be there with them, coming alongside them, giving them strength and helping. It's not a pat on the head that says they're there. It's not removing them from their issues. They're still going to face their issues. Not long after this letter, Paul is actually going to be given a martyr's death. But in the midst of that, he can still say, I have the God of comfort because God gives me strength, God encourages me, God gives me hope to face whatever I have to face. I want you to think about it in this way. How many of you know much about butterflies and the life of butterflies? So when butterflies are in their cocoon and they're about to come out, they have a little opening. And what's interesting is that, you know, they really try to force themselves through that little opening. And at times we have to be careful because we can look at that butterfly struggling to get out and think we can help it. You know, you can grab a knife or a pair of scissors and cut the cocoon so it could come out. But do you know that's actually the wrong thing to do? See, when God created the butterflies and their cocoon and how they come out of the cocoon, if you cut open a cocoon, you'll have a large blob of a body and very frail, hardly any wings at all. When you think of the beautiful, beautiful butterflies you see, do they match? No. Why? Because the butterfly and the way God created them, they actually have to push themselves through that small opening so it pushes all the fluid that's in the body to the wings so that when they come out, they are the beautiful creatures that we know. See, God created them so they go through those stresses to become the most beautiful thing that they can be. That's the type of comfort that Paul is talking about here. That in the midst of his stresses, he can still be the person God wants him to be and grow and serve God because of the comfort that he receives. But how do we receive this comfort? How does God comfort us? Because sometimes you might be sitting there this morning thinking, I really do feel like I'm in that spin cycle. I just bounce from one issue to another challenge, and that's all my life is. And maybe you're sitting there today thinking, God must really delight in seeing me suffer. But no, he doesn't. That's not the God of comfort. That's not the God of compassion. So in the midst of that, how do we see God's compassion? Well, God gives us an idea in these verses. He comforts us, first of all, through Jesus. Look at verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. We know from Scripture the sufferings that Christ faced. Now, he had his own family turn on him. He had his friends turn on him. No one wanted to listen to his teaching. The Jewish people wanted to have him killed. The Romans mistreated him. We know that his sufferings led him to the cross and he died for us. Okay? We understand when it talks about his sufferings. The Apostle Paul at this stage, he's facing huge sufferings just like Christ did. You might be sitting there this morning thinking about that spin cycle and thinking, yeah, you are having your own sufferings. See, this is part of our unity in being with Christ. And we talked about that when we looked at the first letter of 1 Corinthians. But did you understand the second part of that verse? See, we understand sharing in the sufferings of Christ. But do you also realize our comfort also abounds with Christ? God gives us comfort through Jesus. Paul's going to unpack that a bit more through this letter. But look down in verse 9 and 10. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. See, when we hear those verses, we can think of God practically helping Paul every day, saving him, caring for him, and doing things. And that is part of it. But we're also hearing these words knowing that not long after Paul writes this letter, he dies the martyr's death. Because the picture here is from the comfort that we receive from Jesus. It has more that eternal perspective. It's knowing that in the end, when Jesus returns, he will set everything right. Maybe we'll get to have justice here on our when we're alive, but most often not. But what we do know is that when Jesus returns, we will have that justice. In verse 11, Paul thanks the Corinthians for their prayers. He thanks them because he knows that God answers prayers. And it's a good reminder too that, you know, every day we have the Holy Spirit with us to help us hear what God wants us to do, to live it out and to help us pray. When we look at John's gospel and he talks about the Holy Spirit, what does he call the Holy Spirit? He calls him the Comforter, the Counselor. He uses the word parakaleo, the same word that is here. See, God comforts us through Jesus because when Jesus died on that cross and was resurrected, we then have the opportunity, when we believe, to receive the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit, God alongside us, giving us strength every single day through the good times and the challenges. He walks with us. Now, we might hear that and believe it. We might also hear that in the end, you know, through Jesus, we will have justice when Jesus returns. But we can also sit there and think, but today, right now, I'm suffering, God. Why am I in this pain now? Yes, you say you're the God of comfort, but that seems so distant. Well, look at the other way God says we're comforted. Verse 4. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. God comforts us through each other. Now, when you take a look around this room, we comfort each other. And when God comforts us, and we can think, isn't it good he comforts me? But he doesn't comfort me for me. He actually comforts me for you. He comforts me so that I can then share that same comfort with you. Now, down in verse 11, he says, as you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted to us in answer to the prayers of many. See, God shows us comfort not just directly through Jesus and answering our prayers, but through the people around us. Now, we can go through our daily struggles and go through life, and we can shake our head and think, God, why am I going through this? We can think of our sufferings at times and think, what possible good can come out of this? Have you ever felt like that? Well, there is good. And what Paul says here, what is good, is that out of our discomfort, when we receive comfort, we then know how to then show that comfort to others. See, I find it great that God gives us the ability from my life experiences, the good and the bad, that I can then comfort you. And it's often out of our saddest experiences that we actually learn the most about how to comfort someone else. Think about it this way. If you've got a person who has always been wise with managing their money, never in debt, always well off, always okay with money, how good are they at trying to comfort someone who's facing bankruptcy when they've never faced bankruptcy? They're not the best person to talk about it, are they? Now, how good is it to have someone who has, Mr. and Mrs. Wonderful, they have the greatest marriage ever, it's always great. How well are they going to be at comforting someone who is facing domestic violence when they've never had to face domestic violence themselves? See, life experiences, often the saddest and worst experiences, actually then help us help someone else. That's the picture that Paul is giving here. God gives us comfort through Jesus, yes, but he gives us comfort through each other. We're all individuals. We're all unique. We've all had different life experiences. See, for example, as I've shared with you in the past, I've come from two broken homes. But that has allowed me to speak into the lives, particularly of young people who are facing that sort of situation. Sad life experience for me, but I can then give comfort to others. When you think about your life experiences, what can you share to give comfort to others? What comfort has God given you so that you can then pass on to others? I think at times we think that the issues we face in life is just our sufferance and that's all there is. What good can come from it? The Apostle Paul says a lot. When you look around this room today, when you look around your workplace or your school, you see the people there, when you know your family, an extended family, what can you share with them to give them comfort when they need it? Now today, are you hurting? Do you feel like you are caught in the spin cycle? Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's trouble in your workplace or a moral failure in your life. Maybe it's a recent hurt. Maybe it's a hurt that's happened a long time ago. Where do you go looking for comfort in those situations? Where do you go looking for answers? You know, we live in a world that'll tell you, you know, go to alcohol, drugs, or certain other addictions. There you'll find your answer. You know, we live in a world that will say, you know, go on a shopping binge. Spend all your money. That'll fix things. There's a few people nodding. Ladies, shopping trip, beginning of November. Keep that in mind. Maybe for some, it's a cleaning binge. They just think, oh, life's too stressful. I just got to clean. Or maybe it's some sport or different things. We look for answers in all those places for comfort. But the Apostle Paul says they're all the wrong places. The place to come and where we should always be going is to God. We have the God of comfort. Where do you go in looking for comfort? Now, when you came in and you picked up your sermon outline, you might have wondered why there's a giraffe on the front. That's a good question. I want to close by sharing a story with you. A friend of mine at the moment is in Africa and he's on safari. And he was sharing some things and he was sharing some pictures and other things. And one of them he was talking about was the giraffe. And if you know that when, you know, a giraffe gives birth, you know, it's a long drop for the baby to come out. And when the baby hits the ground, the baby giraffe just stays there for a little bit. And then the mother giraffe looks at the baby to make sure the baby's alive. And then what do you think the mother giraffe does? The mother giraffe then one big leg and kicks the giraffe. Sends the baby tumbling. Their mother goes up and then looks at the baby giraffe. What does she do then? Yeah. If the baby giraffe doesn't get up, she kicks it again. And again. Until the baby giraffe gets up on its feet. So she wants the baby giraffe to learn to be how to get up quickly because, as you can imagine, you got all the wild animals around that would love to eat a baby giraffe. So you can't just be lying on the ground. You've got to be up, moving very quickly. So once the baby giraffe gets up, what does the mother then do? Kicks the feet out from underneath the baby giraffe again so the baby giraffe hits the ground. Why? Because she wants to make sure the baby giraffe remembers how to get up quickly. Now, at times in life, I think our relationship and the stresses and the struggles and the being caught in the spin cycle, we can feel that we get knocked down. At times we understand and we see that God gives us comfort and God, remember, comes alongside, gives us strength and helps us get back on our feet. And then we feel we get knocked down again. But God is always there. So I called this series, Don't Throw in the Towel. See, the Apostle Paul, writing not long before he dies, writing to a church that is suffering persecution and struggling, writing to us today and the issues we face, don't throw in the towel. At times in our struggles, we can feel like giving up. We can feel that God has given up on us. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says that's not the case. We have the God of comfort. You're going to get kicked. You're going to get knocked down. But God will help you get up. You'll get knocked down, but God will help you get up. So today, I don't want you to throw in the towel. I don't want you to feel that you need to give up or what's the point. But in God's comfort, get up See people around you that you can help comfort and help them get up so that we can continue to be the people God wants us to be. 2 Corinthians is a book about God's comfort. It's a book that's about helping a church keep going. It's about helping those who say they love and follow God to keep our focus on Him and keep going. In 2025, isn't that a message in our world today we need to hear? No matter what we face, God's going to help us to keep going. Let me pray. Father, we realize very easily that we get knocked down a lot. But Father, we're so thankful that we don't face it alone. We're so thankful that you help us get up on our feet. And even if we get knocked down again, you'll help us there get back on our feet again. Lord, help us to not throw in the towel. Help us to keep serving you. But Lord, as we do that, help us not to just think about our own situation, but look around us to those who we can also help. Because as you have comforted us in our life experiences, we have something to share with others. And Father, we thank you for that. Father, at times it can be hard to say thank you when we're suffering, but Lord, some good can always come from it. So we do thank you for that. Father, if there's anyone here struggling or suffering today, feeling like they're caught in that spin cycle, Lord, come alongside them. Bless them and let them know that you're an active present every single day with them. Father, we thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit, that we can talk to you, that we can listen to you, and that the Spirit will help us to be the people you want us to be. Father, as we go out this week, help us to do that, we pray, in your name. Amen.